Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. This week we will be talking about Nucor. Nucor is the producer of steel and related products. The principal steel products are hot rolled steel shapes, such as angles, rounds, channels, etc. Cold finished bars, joists, and decks. The hot rolled steel products are made from scraps, so Nucor uses its electric arc furnaces, continuous casters, and automated rolling mills. It is also the largest steel producer in the United States and the largest mini-mill steel maker, and it uses the electric arc furnaces to melt scrap metal rather than using the blast furnaces, so they're very cost efficient with their production. It also makes Nucor the largest scrap metal recycler in North America. And now that we have an idea of what kind of business Nucor runs and what kind of products it makes, let's look at the fundamentals by reviewing the key ratios, find the intrinsic value by performing a discounted free cash flow analysis, and look at the expected rate of return calculations as to if we were to invest in Nucor at the current valuations, what kind of returns can we expect on that investment? So let's dive in and look at Nucor.
Hey guys, let's look at the key ratios. I'm on Morningstar for Nucor. Under key ratios, financials, first off, we have the revenue. We can see that for the past 10 years, the revenue has been increasing. However, the biggest jump came in 2018, right when the tariffs on international steel went into effect. And we can see that Nucor's top line increased by about 25%. Next is the net income. We can see that the net income has been increasing as well. This shows that both the revenue and the net income, which is the top and the bottom line, have been increasing and going in the right direction. Next is the dividends. We can see that Nucor has been increasing its dividends every year for the past 10 years. This is great news for us shareholders. However, when we look at the payout ratio, and a payout ratio simply tells us how much of the company's earnings, its net income, is actually being paid out to the shareholders. So higher the ratio is, the more money is being paid out to the shareholders in form of dividend as compared to money being left over with the company to reinvest in itself. We ideally want the payout ratio to be low because it gives the company the opportunity to reinvest in its core business. Before 2018, we can see that the payout ratio was fairly high, ranging from 343% to the low of 44.5%. However, after the steel tariffs went into effect, we can see that the payout ratio is now below 30%. And a ratio below 30% is definitely feasible and sustainable in the long run. Next is the shares outstanding. Back in 2010, Nucor had about 317 million shares outstanding, which increased to 321 million in 2017. And after the tariffs went into effect, we can see that the shares outstanding decreased and are now sitting at 304 million shares outstanding for the trailing 12 months. So this shows that Nucor has started buying back its shares, which makes sense because Nucor's profitability increased after the tariffs went into effect. That means that more money is going to be left over with the company and they can use it to buy back shares and increase the existing shareholders' ownership within the company. Next is the free cash flow. We can see that the free cash flow has been positive every year except in 2013. And we will be using the 10 years of free cash flow numbers from 2010 to 2019 in our expected rate of return calculation. And I will be using the 2019 free cash flow number of $1,332 million for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Next, we'll look at the profitability of the business. Let's focus on net margin. The net margin is simply the ratio of the bottom line to the top line. So it gives us an idea of how much of the sales that company makes is actually being translated to profit at the end. And we can see that the net margin for Nucor has never been above 10%. The high was in 2018 of 9.38%, right when the tariffs went into effect. And after that, it declined to 5.6% in 2019. Ideally, we want to invest in companies with high and wide net margin. A high net margin number means that the company has the agility and flexibility to withstand any market downturns. Next is the return on assets. The return on assets gives us an idea of how well the company is generating profit on its total assets. And we can see that Nucor's best return on assets was in 2018, which was at about 14%, and it dropped down to about 7% in 2019. Next is the financial leverage. We can see that Nucor's financial leverage has been fairly steady for the past 10 years, which is great. because it tells us that Nucor is good with its debt. It is not overextending and trying to borrow more in order to stay in business or to expand. Next is the return on invested capital. This gives us an idea of how well the management is doing at investing the capital and getting a return on that investment. We can see that the return on invested capital has its ups and downs over the years. Back in 2010, it was about 2.3%. And then in 2017, it was 11.7%. 2018, it was 18.4%. And 2019, it was 9.42%. So it certainly shows the cyclicality of the business. Next, let's look at the financial health, primarily focusing on the liquidity measure. Looking at the current ratio, Warren Buffett wants the current ratio of a company to be at least a 1.5, and Nucor far exceeds that benchmark. Next is the debt to equity ratio. This gives us an idea of the company's total debt to its shareholders' equity, and we want this number to be definitely less than one. And Nucor's numbers have been great because, for the most part, they have been less than 0.5. So these liquidity measures tell us that Nucor has enough cash on hand to survive for another 12 months without any issue. It is not over-leveraged and can certainly withstand any economic downturn. Next, let's look at the efficiency ratios. Let's look at the days inventory. This number gives us an idea of how many days does the product actually stay in the company's inventory before it actually gets sold. So back in 2010, Nucor's products sat in the inventory for 35 days before it was sold. For the trailing 12 months, Nucor's product sits in the inventory for about 75 days before it gets sold. Moreover, if you look at the trend of numbers over the years, we can see that the days that Nucor's product spends in the inventory has been going up every single year. Ideally, we want the number that the product stays in the inventory to be as low as possible because we want to get that product out, sell it, and generate a profit. So given that Nucor's days in the inventory have been increasing, tells us that Nucor's efficiency is declining. Days inventory number goes hand in hand with the inventory turnover number, and the inventory turnover number gives us an idea of how many times does the inventory go through in a calendar year. And in 2010, that number was 10.45. So Nucor's inventory went through 10.45 times, whereas if we compare it to the trailing 12 months, when it's 4.85 times. So within a 10-year period, Nucor's inventory turnover was cut in half. And it looks like even after the tariffs went into effect in 2018, it did not improve Nucor's efficiency measures, which is certainly a cause of concern because you want to invest in a company that is efficient with its inventory. Next, let's look at the valuations of the company. Here, we're going to compare Nucor's valuations to that of S&P 500. And S&P 500 is simply the average of the top 500 companies in the United States. First is the price-to-earnings measure. We can see that Nucor's PE is sitting at 26.7, whereas the S&P 500 is at 26.9. So fairly similar to each other. Next is the price-to-book. Nucor is at 1.3, whereas S&P 500 is at 3.7. So from a price-to-book perspective, Nucor is certainly cheaper. Next is price-to-sales. Nucor is at 0.7, whereas S&P 500 is at 2.6. So even on price-to-sales measure, Nucor has a better valuation than S&P 500. Next is the price-to-cash flow. Nucor is at 4.6, whereas S&P 500 is at 15.5. On this measure as well, Nucor is undervalued as compared to the aggregate 500 companies. Next is the dividend yield. At the current price, Nucor provides a yield of 3.6%, whereas S&P 500 has a yield of 1.8%. So even though Nucor's price-to-earnings metric is fairly similar to that of the S&P 500, as far as all the other metrics go, Nucor is undervalued compared to the S&P 500. Now let's look at the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Hey guys, let's look at the discounted free cash flow analysis now. For the current free cash flow, I'm using $1,332 million. This is the free cash flow number for 2019. The annual growth rate of free cash flow is 2%. The discount rate is 10%. The long-term growth rate I'm assuming to be 2%. And this is the rate that I expect Nucor to grow after 10 years into the future. So after year 10 to perpetuity, I expect Nucor to grow at 2%. The total numbers of shares outstanding is 304 million. Nucor's long-term debt is $4,215 million. I got this number from Nucor's balance sheet. And after taking all of this into account, we get Nucor's intrinsic value to be about $40 per share. The way that the intrinsic value is calculated is we look at the free cash flows and what those free cash flows would be in the next 10 years. We discount all those free cash flows back to the present value. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be after the 10 years into perpetuity. And we discount all those free cash flows back to the present value. We add those two free cash flow numbers up, and then we subtract the long-term debt from that number, divide by the shares outstanding, and we get the intrinsic value per share. And in Nucor's case, it's about $40 per share. Hey guys, now let's look at the expected rate of return calculation. I pasted the past 10 years of free cash flows from 2010 to 2019. I got these numbers from Morningstar. As we can see, the trend shows the cyclicality in the business. We can see that from 2015 to 2017, the cash flows were declining, primarily because of the overproduction of steel in the global economy. Then, as far as the future predictions go, I'm assuming that there's a 25% likelihood that Nucor's free cash flow would grow at 3%. There's a 50% likelihood that the free cash flow would grow at 1%. And a 25% likelihood that the free cash flow would grow at negative 5%. These are the potential free cash flow arrays. And then I input the numbers of shares outstanding, which is 304 million. At the current stock price of $45 per share, I'm getting an expected rate of return of about 8.8%. This means that if you were to purchase a share of Nucor at $45, you can expect to get a return of about 8.8%. on that investment. Hey guys, now let's bring it all together. We looked at Nucor's key ratios. We saw that the company is financially stable and liquid. It is not over leveraged, which is something we seek in any company that we want to invest as value investors. We also saw that Nucor's net income margin is low and its efficiency has been deteriorating for the past 10 years. And both of these qualities are something we do not seek in an investment. When we compared Nucor to the S&P 500, we saw that on the price to earnings level, Nucor was in line with S&P 500. However, as far as the other metrics go, Nucor was certainly undervalued to S&P 500. Then we looked at the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. We assumed a 10% discount rate and a 2% growth in free cash flow. And after taking the shares outstanding and the long-term debt into account, we saw that the intrinsic value of Nucor is about $40 per share as compared to the current stock price of about $45 per share. Then we did the expected rate of return calculation and saw that if we were to invest in Nucor at the current valuations, we would get about 8.8% return on our investment. So overall, we saw that Nucor is a financially stable company. Up to some extent, it is even undervalued at the current market valuations. However, when we realize the fact that its recent increase in sales volume has been due to the tariffs imposed on international countries, Nucor's appeal goes away up to some extent, primarily because we saw how low Nucor's net income margin is. And if the sales volumes drop, it will affect Nucor's bottom line and its profitability. And it is going to be harder for Nucor to pay its dividends if that were to happen. In conclusion, Nucor is fundamentally stable. And if you are looking for an investment in the steel industry, Nucor may be your best bet. However, if you're open to investing in other sectors, it is likely that you will find a better investment elsewhere.
Hey guys, that is all I have for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on Nucor helpful. If you find this content interesting, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe to my channel. Thank you.